Scripture reading today will be from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there that the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Good morning. I wasn't sure how the attendance would be until I got up here, but it's not quite so bad. We have some visitors. We do have a tremendous amount of our members who are traveling, some who are sick and confined, but we have a lot of visitors here, and we're certainly delighted because of that. Let me say a few things. First of all, I am glad we're having the first Sunday fellowship next Sunday morning. But I do have to disagree with Kurt on one thing. He said make all the delicious food. With our New Year's resolutions, we can't have anything delicious there. It's all going to have to be diet food. In fact, I really appreciated Ken and Nancy gave us some candy for Christmas, and she had some Atkins low-carb candy in there for me. I really did appreciate that. Also, from the very depths of my heart, Landon, it was so good to see you up here today. I haven't had a chance to hug him yet, he and Georgina. I'm looking forward to doing that in just a little while. One other thing, and this is a very, very serious announcement. If you got our Gmail or if you were in our Bible class this morning, Doug and Sherry's daughter, Cindy, and her three daughters, their apartment was broken into just before Christmas, and everything was taken. Everything was taken. Clothes, shoes, Christmas presents, and everything. We put out a Gmail announcement, and a dozen people or more tried to give me money today. Some I had already taken, and when I gave that to Sherry to get to Cindy, she said, "God is so good, their needs had already all been met." So I assured her if anything else comes up between now and in the future, you let us know, because there are a lot of us who would continue to do that. In fact, I have a feeling, Sherry, some are going to come to you even after church today asking about that. And with tears in her eyes and with tears in my eyes, she said, "Be sure and tell the congregation how appreciative they are." But God is good. In fact, I've got a new way of saying that in 2017. Not only is God good, God is great. And we serve such a wonderful God, and we have such good friends. We're glad that their needs are taken care of. She assured me the girls had a wonderful Christmas, and really I was delighted to hear that. Every few years, I like to go to some lengths to explain my feeling about Christmas. And I would like to do that today. You know, some of the peripherals of Christmas, like the Christmas tree, is not found in the Bible. You can read from Genesis to Malachi and Matthew to Revelation. You can read Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2. And you're not going to find any reference at all about a Christmas tree. The Christmas tree has absolutely nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. And if you're going to try to find a reference about that, you're just going to fail. And admittedly, the origins of the Christmas tree were of pagan religions. But brethren, we're not pagans. And so it does not mean to us today what it meant to the pagans who incorporated that in their religious services generations and generations ago. The Christmas tree for us is just a decoration. And as long as it is just a decoration, I really don't have any problem at all with the Christmas tree. We can say the same thing about Santa Claus. As much as I like that jolly old elf, he has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus story whatsoever. He was not of pagan religion, but he was of a non-Christian type religion when he was incorporated into the Christmas story. But he doesn't mean to us what he did to the people who incorporated him hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And what aggravates me and my wife the most is to see a Christmas card, hint, hint, to receive a Christmas card and it shows Santa Claus holding the baby Jesus. I just don't like that one at all. So let's not think that Santa Claus has anything to do with Christmas. You can study the Bible from beginning to end. You're not going to find Santa Claus referenced at all, and especially not concerning the birth of Jesus. However, and I have three main howevers in my lesson today. However, the original motive of Christmas, the original motive of Christmas was to help us remember the birth of Jesus. And brethren, the birth of Jesus is a big to-do in the Bible. It was the fulfilling of a lot of the prophecies of the Old Testament. It was the beginning of the physical life of Jesus here on the earth. God sent a special star to commemorate the birth of his son. He sent the wise men. He got them there. He sent his angels to proclaim the announcement of the birth of his son. It is a major part of the Bible. Now, for all practical purposes, Christmas as we see it today, the human traditional holiday called Christmas, has removed Jesus completely. And brethren, I don't really have a problem with that. I wish we could take the Christmas holidays and dedicate them to Santa Claus, and then take another time and remember the birth of Jesus, which we need to do all the time. Had Jesus not been born, he couldn't have died. So we need to remember that. But really, Jesus has nothing to do with the human traditional Christmas occasion. We see the nativity scene on some Christmas wrappings and on Christmas cards, but other than that, Jesus has been completely removed from that. And in fact, I really prefer that. I don't like this intermingling of Jesus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Let's give Christmas its day and let's remember that Jesus was born and announced by the angels. Jesus is no longer the reason for the season. Christmas for us is tinsel and wassail and giving Christmas presents, decking the halls with bells of holly. I never even really understood what that was. I like all of those things. Well, I don't like wassail, but I like the rest of those things. But let's not confuse the human traditional holiday that's called Christmas with the birth of Jesus. In fact, let's look today at what the Bible has to say about the birth of Jesus. Let me begin with this question. If I ask you to explain the purpose of God sending his only begotten son to the earth, if I ask you to explain the purpose and said, what passage of scripture are you using in the explanation of the purpose of Jesus coming to the earth, what passage would you use? Well, we would probably use Matthew chapter 2. More of us would even read Luke chapter 2. But those verses talk about the facts of the birth of Jesus. We're talking about explaining the purpose of God sending Jesus to the earth. I want to use a verse to explain the purpose of God sending Jesus to the earth that you probably would not consider. But the verse that I would use reads like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brethren, that was the first Christmas present ever given. And no one can outgive what God has given. No one can outdo what God has done. There could be no greater gift than the Son of God, who ultimately would suffer, be crucified, buried, raised from the dead, ascend after 40 days, and secure our salvation with his Father. That is the greatest gift ever given. So I believe John 3:16 better explains the birth of Jesus, the reason for the birth of Jesus, than anything else. Now, Christmas means maybe different things to different people. To a lot of people, it is shopping and spending. To me, yesterday, it was eating. For other people, it's drinking. For other people, it's traveling and entertaining. But the Bible teaches that Christmas, the birth of Jesus, is a time of realization. To realize how truly God loves us. He loves each and every one of us. He loves us so much that he spared not his own Son. He gave him for us. And it also reminds us of the uniqueness of the birth of Jesus. As I've already mentioned, it was an answer to so many of the prophecies given in the Old Testament. It is a demonstration of the power of God in Jesus' miracles, the prophecies, his teaching, even his death, burial, and resurrection. It makes us realize how unique all of this was. And I appreciate the fact in the Bible that these great, humble people, people just like us, were the ones that first appreciated the birth of Jesus, like Mary and Joseph and Anna and Simeon and the wise men and the shepherds. It's very, very unique. Second, for a Christian, the Christmas holiday season should be a reminder of a time of loving. Now, brethren, I don't think I'm wrong in this. If you've been out in the community at all, I think you will agree with this. Haven't you noticed that a lot of people are a little more kind and a little more compassionate and a little more loving at this time? I can't tell you how many times, I know they did it for Linda, but I can't tell you how many times people have stepped back and opened the door for my wife to walk through, and I walked through right with her. It's a time that should represent all the year for all the people. But don't you agree? I think people are a little more understanding, a little more sympathetic, a little more compassionate, a little more eager to reach out to people that maybe they've never met before. We should realize it should be that way all the time. And brethren, as Christians, we need to care for people like God cares for us. And we need to love people like God loves us. For a Christian, Christmas should also be a time of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. You know, Jesus describes a dividing time, and he will separate the sheep from the goats. And it amazes me how this would also develop into a wonderful Christmas-type sermon. Because I don't think a Christian can look with indifference on someone that is hungry. I don't think we can look with indifference at someone who is naked. I don't think we can look at indifference with someone who is alone, someone who is sad, someone who is lonely. That's the message that Jesus gave. And they said, Jesus, when did we see you hungry, alone, in prison, and so forth? And you remember what Jesus said, for as much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Every time a Christian shows traditional Christian values, we're representing Jesus. That's what Jesus would have done. Jesus would have been kind all the time, compassionate all the time, generous all the time. Jesus was always willing and eager to reach out to people that he didn't even know. And if we can learn that from appreciating even human traditional holiday season, then it's a lesson that we need to learn. God loved us and gave for us. He gave the very best that he could. You know, I received some real sweet things for Christmas yesterday. We had Christmas yesterday. We're going to have Christmas with another part of the family today. Linda even had Christmas last weekend with part of her family. I received some really nice things. I really did appreciate them. But nothing that was given to me and nothing that I gave to one of my children or grandchildren or my mother or anyone else begins to compare with what God gave to us. He gave us his all. He gave us his best. He gave us from his very heart. He gave us his only begotten Son, freely given, lovingly given, graciously given. Jesus was born so that he could share with us human nature. And we live so that someday we can share with him his divine nature. So day by day, those who are coming to him are transformed into his image until we come to a fullness of the glory of God as received in the blood of Jesus Christ. Number four, to a Christian, Christmas should be a time of forgiving. Now, we could jump ahead 30-some-odd years to Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus establishing for us the principle of true divine giving from the cross, saying, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. But we need to realize that when God sent Jesus to the earth, there wasn't that, well, I don't guess there's really days or time in heaven, but there was a human time, human days, even years, when God was not with Jesus at all time. And I know how much I appreciate family, especially when I only see family once or twice a year, how much I appreciate seeing them at that time. God appreciated us so much that he allowed Jesus to be taken away from us. He gave us a spirit of mercy. He gave us an understanding of the lost. In fact, brethren, we live in a dying world. And if they're going to receive eternal life, it has to come from us. And so I ask another question. Do we all possess that forgiving spirit? You know, we live in a nation, we live in a world that is so judgmental. I can hardly watch news anymore. Even the news broadcasters are so judgmental, determining the actions, even the very intent of people's heart. Brethren, as Christians, we're not to be so judgmental. We have not the right to look down our face at others. And so my question is, do we have that forgiving spirit? A corollary question is this. If there is anyone in my life or anyone in your life that needs your forgiveness, you need to forgive them. Number five, to a Christian, Christmas is also a time of rescuing. That's what God did for us. He rescued us. We were lost. We were dying. We were hopeless and helpless. And he sent Jesus to rescue us. Rescue the perishing, as the song says. And truly, without Christ, we are without life. Without Christ, we are destined to be without God forever and ever and ever. Without Christ, we would still be without hope. We need to realize that because we have been rescued. We are the descendants of a dying race, but it is because of the love, the grace, the mercy of God, He sent Jesus to be saved. Therefore, and this is my last point, to a Christian, Christmas is a time of change. Christianity must change the individual. As we study and learn more about the characteristics of Jesus, as we study and learn more about the power and will of God, as we live with our church family on a daily, weekly, monthly, annual basis, we need to learn that we must change. Paul says when we come to Christ, we are new creatures. The former us is passed away. We have new goals, but they're mutual goals. We have new ideas, but they're mutual ideas. We have new directions, new hope, but it's mutual because we are children of Almighty God. Christ changes us, and it changes us for the better. And so this is not a point, but I added as my conclusion, it's also a time of rejoicing, realizing what we truly have. We have God's unconditional love. That's John 3:16. We have God's release and forgiveness. That's John 3:16. And finally, we find a new life in God, in Christ, with a new mission and a new outlook on life. That's John 3:16. That's what Jesus ushered into the world at His birth. So this morning, what I've tried to do is not necessarily tell you what I think about this holiday season, but to tell you what God thinks about this holiday season. It is a big thing to God. It was a sacrifice to God, and we need to fully appreciate it every day. What does it mean to you? Is it just a holiday, or is it God's love? For God so loved us that He gave Jesus as a present to us. And if we believe that He is the Son of God, and if we comply with the other things that Jesus indicated is a condition for entering into His body, into His church, then we will find, we can find, we must find everlasting life with Him. And if that's the desire of anyone today, to come to Jesus, always remember, this is not the invitation of Shan Jackson. This is not the invitation of the Port Lavaca Church of Christ. This is the invitation of Jesus. He's the one that established the invitation when He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for My yoke is easy." Jesus' yoke is easy, and His burden is light. So if anyone needs to respond to Jesus, won't you come as we stand and sing?